So yes, I'm presenting on Girls on Guard, and so is Colleen. So I'm not going to go into. So I'm going to focus mostly on the role of the provider. So there will be some other information that Colleen will cover. So if you have some questions, it might also be in her presentation. Girls on Guard was an industry-sponsored grant with Merck, and this has been covered in others' introductions, so I'm going to get to the part of why we did Girls on Guard, because African-American women in the U.S. bear a disproportionately high burden of HPV disease. It's imperative for us to understand uptake and factors that affect uptake in this population of the vaccine. And so the primary purpose of Girls on Guard was to conduct a randomized controlled trial to test the efficacy of a theory-based, computer-delivered media intervention designed to enhance initial uptake of the vaccine and completion of that vaccine series. And the theory that we used was the IMB model, Information, Motivation, Behavioral Skills model. And this framework provides an understanding for risk behavior and for constructing interventions to facilitate behavior change, and has been applied in a wide range of behaviors across diverse populations. So to develop the intervention, we did focus groups with mothers of African American adolescents. And as has been found in previous studies, the mothers had some knowledge of HPV, but very little was known about the vaccine and its side effects and long-term effectiveness. And overall, the mothers were receptive to vaccination if their daughter's healthcare provider initiated the conversation and could provide answers to their questions about the vaccine. We also did interviews with adolescent females, African-American adolescent females, and we found that there was an overall lack of understanding of HPV and the HPV vaccine. However, the majority were open to receiving additional information about both. And then we also did interviews with healthcare providers, and we found that there were inconsistencies in their willingness to recommend the vaccine and also to stock the vaccine. So once we did all of that, we also used the information that we came to in these interviews and focus groups to create the Girls on Guard script. It's a five-scene media-based intervention script, and then we did theater testing with another group of adolescent girls within one of the counties where we were recruiting for the main study. And from their feedback, we adjusted some of the language in the script so that it was more age appropriate, and then we actually filmed the DVD. And we also developed keychains with motivational health messages that they could use to put their appointment cards once they did get vaccinated. And we also used this application of the keychains in the DVD to kind of model the behavior. And we pilot tested it, and we found that it did work within the clinical setting. So participants were recruited in the waiting areas of five STD or family planning clinics within the Atlanta metro area from 2010 to 2012. So the focus groups took place in 2009. Focus groups and interviews took place in 2009. To be eligible, participants had to self-identify as African-American female. They had to be between the ages of 13 and 18. They could not be married. They also could not be pregnant, and they had to be seeking these reproductive or STI services, and no previous HPV vaccination. Participants were consented by city-certified research staff. Signed informed consent was required for the 17 to 18-year-olds. Assent was required for 13 to 16-year-olds, and HIPAA was also required for 18-year-olds. Parental consent was not required. In accordance with Georgia law, as participants were seeking reproductive and STI services at a clinic, and in Georgia, you can be 13 and receive those services without parental consent. So we did not have to consult with their parents, although some of the girls did have their parents there with them. So participants completed a 15-minute audio computer assistant self-interview, or a CASI. They were provided a laptop, which is a small laptop, 10 inches, to complete their CASI and watch the video. And both videos were between 10 to 12 minutes long, and they were designed to be gender and culturally appropriate and beneficial and engaging. They were permitted to ask questions, clarifying questions about their CASI. Any questions related to HPV vaccination, we asked them to have that conversation when they went back with the provider. Girls were randomized into the Girls on Guard group, which saw the Girls on Guard video, and they were randomized into the control group, which saw a physical and nutritional video, and again, they were both 10 to 12 minutes. All participants did receive $10 for their time and participation, and the Girls on Guard group also received that keychain and motivational health message for their appointment cards. The entire process took approximately 30 minutes from consent to completion, did not interfere with their clinic time as they had a long wait, and some of them used that time with us to make that wait go faster. And clinic providers were blind to what groups the girls were in. All participants received standard of care counseling according to the clinic. Initial vaccination, if received, was to occur on the same day as enrollment, and the cost of the vaccine was covered by Vaccines for Children, which is a federally funded program that covers vaccines for adolescents under the age of 19 who have limited or no health insurance. So we removed the barrier of paying for the vaccine. There wasn't any follow-up with the participants to minimize reactivity, but after 7 months, we did review medical records to find out who received the vaccine and who completed the vaccine series, and we also looked at any STI diagnosis and treatment and within that seven-month period. So this is what the Girls on Guard homepage looks like. And after pressing play, the girls see Kira, who's our main character, and her friend Alexis talking about Kira's boyfriend who's cheated on her and in the process has gotten an STD. And a commercial comes on in the middle of their conversation about Gardasil. This was a Merck-funded intervention. So the commercial comes on about Gardasil, and it gives information about HPV in the U.S. and about the vaccine. And then the girls see this screen where they can say, yes, Kira should get the vaccine, no, she shouldn't, or undecided. The yes girls see one scenario within the clinic, the no and undecided see another scenario. So we're going to go through the yes scenario. And this is Kira, who is here on my right, and Alexis and Michaela, and they are all in the clinic. And Michaela has had her first two shots, and she's there to get her third shot. And she's explaining to Kira and Alexis how easy it's been for her and how reassuring it's been for her to get the vaccine. And then Kira gets called to the back, and she sees her provider. And Dr. Williams is the provider, and she explains to her the vaccine, the side effects, the importance of the vaccine, and also gives her a keychain. And that is what our keychains look like, with the appointment card on one side and the motivational message on the other side. And then we also had a series of shots with mothers, young girls, and then health providers all endorsing vaccination. So we completed 216 interviews. And in these interviews, we measured different constructs, such as the ones you've heard here, sociodemographic variables, sexual history, HPV cervical cancer knowledge, HPV vaccine acceptability and effectiveness, and normative beliefs. And the average age at enrollment was 16. The average age of sexual debut was 14 years of age. And most of the girls reported having male sex partners who were around the same age or older. And 22% reported ever testing positive for a sexually transmitted infection. So we asked the girls a series of questions and the normative beliefs, and we used four items, and they could rate these from strongly disagree to strongly agree. And the different questions were, my doctor will think it is a good idea for me to get vaccinated. Most people important to me think I should get the HPV vaccine. And my best friends think I should get the HPV vaccine. My parent guardians think I should get the HPV vaccine. So 82% or 177 participants believe that their doctor would think it was a good idea for them to receive the vaccine. 64% or 138 believe their parents would think it important for them to get the vaccine. And then 55% thought people important to them would think they should get it. And only 39% thought their best friend would think they should get it. So even with all of that, 63% or 136, which was split, 66 in the control group, 70 in the intervention group, reported that they would likely get the HPV vaccine if a healthcare provider recommended it to them within the next 12 months. 58 or 21 in the control group, 37 in our intervention group, reported that they would be likely to get it that day when we enrolled them. And then what actually happened is that only 24 of the 216 girls received at least one dose, and that was evenly split, 12 in the control, 12 in the intervention group. Yeah. Yeah. And then we also had 8 girls in the intervention group receive 2 doses, 8 out of those 12, and 6 out of those 12 received dose 2 and 3. In the comparison group, 3 received dose 2, and only 2 received doses 2 and 3. So, unfortunately, there are some limitations to our study. We don't know if the provider actually recommended the vaccine because we could not observe that patient and provider interaction. However, in one of the clinics during their heavy push for back-to-school vaccines, I did observe one of the nurses who was responsible for giving vaccine actively discouraging one of the young ladies from getting the vaccine because, well, you don't need it for school, and you're going to have to come back two more times. So I was like, really? That's not what's supposed to happen. And in Georgia, there is protocol that states that if a girl comes in to receive reproductive health services or STI services, they should be offered the HPV vaccine. But again, we don't know if that happened with all providers. We don't know if that happened with all clinics. We also did not have a post-encounter interview with the girls, so we don't know what part of the video may have been effective for them. We don't know what their satisfaction was with their services that day, because again, they did have a long wait in these clinics. And we know that interaction with your provider, interaction with the clinic staff can affect your decisions and whether or not you want to have an extra step to go get the HPV vaccine and spend more time with the staff. And also, we did not have the ability to track vaccination through the Georgia Registry of Immunization Transactions and Services, which is an electronic service that they have throughout Georgia where you can see the listing of each vaccine. So if the girls got vaccinated somewhere else, we weren't able to track that. And we also had a limited sample size. So from this and from recent studies and studies that you just heard, we know that it is important to understand that provider-patient interaction. And because while in our study, we observed that teens have a low perceived susceptibility to HPV infection, over 80% believe that their provider would think it important for them to get vaccinated. And many of them said they would if they had that recommendation. And they trust and look to their medical provider for guidance. We also need to give more information to providers and make sure that they're comfortable having that conversation. And again, even though these were providers in STI and family planning clinics, we don't know if they were having that conversation. They may have been focused on the problem area and didn't feel like they had the time to go into the HPV vaccination explanations. But we need to be training providers to be able to give that information and give it in a succinct way that makes sense to the patient and also gives them reason to want to get vaccinated. And also providers need to be offering vaccination at all visits. So we would like to thank our participants, partner clinics, and our study staff. And this was an IRB-approved study. Thank you.